Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Juvenile delinquency. Teenage rebellion. Teenagers being out of control. Parents being stretched to the limit in managing their teenagers. That's the topic today. Teenagers out of control. And teenagers needing to be brought under control. You know, I lived in Texas in the 70s. And shortly before we moved there in the early 70s, the city of Houston, Texas, was experiencing a significantly high rate of crime. And they discovered that when they studied it anyway, that the crime rate was particularly high among teenagers. And the city officials had to come to terms with this matter and figure out what to do about it. If they could target the teenagers as being the source of much of the problems of the city, not all of them, but much of them, they could then at least address one aspect of the problem or one subpopulation of the problem and try to do something about it. So the city of Houston kind of did a study and consulted people and came up with a plan to somehow educate parents of teenagers and see if they could reduce the crime rate accordingly. Well, it worked, actually. It actually worked. So here's what they did. They created these big billboards all over the city. And they would advertise a statement such as, "Control your kids. Control your kids." Or the billboard might say something like, "Parents, take time to train. Take time to train your kids." And these billboards were placed all over Houston, Texas. The educational system was asked to join in the campaign. Churches were asked to join in the campaign. Youth programs were asked to join in the campaign. In other words, there was a citywide campaign to help parents address this issue of the children in their own home. And if they could control the children in their own home, they would control the problem on the streets of Houston. Well, it worked, and unfortunately, cities today aren't doing that. They aren't taking this campaign. They aren't buying into it. They aren't saying, well, it worked for Houston, it should work for us. They're either doing nothing at all, or they're trying something of their own. But this is what Houston did to deal with it. Now, they did something else, and this is the interesting part which I want to really address in my podcast today. The police department had a seminar, and they came up as a result of the seminar with the 12 rules for raising delinquent children. Kind of a negative twist on the problem, but how do you raise a delinquent child in your home? It's pretty easy, actually. It's pretty easy to raise a delinquent child. It's not so easy to train a child that is honorable in all ways of the community and the home and respectful of parents, etc. So what are the rules of raising a delinquent child? Here's what they came up with. Let me give you the list. You'll be surprised, but you'll be amused as well. Here's number one. Begin with infancy to give the child everything he wants. In this way, he will grow up to believe that the world owes him a living. True story, right? You give the child everything he wants, he's going to expect to get everything he wants. And when he moves out of the home, when he's expecting all these things from his parents, he'll expect them of his girlfriend or boyfriend. He'll expect them of the parents of his boyfriend or girlfriend or new wife or new husband. He'll expect them of the school. He'll expect them of the church. He'll expect them of the community. He'll expect them of our nation. See? You grow up expecting, you're going to live that kind of lifestyle. dependent upon others and expecting your needs to be met by other people. Here's the number two anyway. Here's what they came up with number two. When he picks the bad words, laugh at him. He'll think he's cute, right? So if your child, this is primarily focused on boys, but it could be girls as well. The boy kind of speaks words that are evil or cuss words and words that are inappropriate. If you laugh, you give attention to it, and you give support to that kind of language and that kind of discussion and talk. And he'll think he's cute, so he'll repeat it. He'll repeat it to be cute. Okay? Here's number three. Never give him any spiritual training. In other words, wait until he is about 21 years of age or more, and then just say to him, it's up to you. Decide for yourself. Well, he won't go to church. He won't involve himself in spiritual training, even then, unless he marries somebody who is involved in the church and sees the value of church and will include him in the church program. Yes, give spiritual training, and the earlier the better. Not just dropping the kid off at church, but being as part of the program, going to church with him, going to a youth program with him, getting spiritual training together as a family. Let it happen within the family context, you know, as well. Here's number four. Avoid use of the word wrong. It may develop a guilt complex. In other words, don't tell the kid that it was wrong to do something. You don't want him to feel guilty. You don't want him to feel shame. Because if you do, this will condition him to believe later when he is arrested for stealing or stealing a car or whatever, that society is against him and he's being persecuted. In other words, if your child is raised in such a way that there is no wrong, then if somebody does say that to him later on in life, he's going to see it as now he's being picked on, he's being persecuted. Here's the next one. Pick up everything he leaves behind him and lays around. Do everything for him so that he will be, so he will experience the fact that throwing all responsibility can be placed on others. In other words, pick up everything and then he'll expect that other people will come behind him and pick up everything for him as well, or give him what he wants, or help him get whatever he wants. He'll throw responsibility onto other people, totally. And he will not take responsibility himself. So, watch it. Let him do things for himself. He makes a mess, he cleans it up. He puts things down, he picks it up. If he makes it something dirty, he washes it. If he throws something on the floor, he picks it up. He cleans up after him. You don't do that as a parent. He does that himself. He takes responsibility for his own actions and for his own dirt and his own slobberiness. Okay? Here's number six. Let him read any printed material that he wants. Be careful that the silver is polished and the glasses are washed and the dishes are washed and the furniture is taken care of and the rugs are clean and all that. Make care of all that. But let his mind feed on garbage in the meantime. That's what they said. You know, that's not the way to do it. Don't put all your emphasis upon how your home looks. Put your emphasis upon what people are doing and what people are like and what people are becoming within the home. What's your kid becoming? What's he reading? Whatever he's reading, he'll become. Whoever he's talking to, he'll become. Whatever he's doing, he'll become. Here's the next one. Quarrel frequently in the presence of your children. In this way, they won't be shocked when you file for divorce. They'll say, well, I saw it coming. And it's probably better because I don't like the quarreling. So maybe divorce is better. So kids, in fact, really support the idea of a divorce. Not because they want a divorce, but they don't want the quarreling. that the couples often do right in front of their kids. So if you want your kid to be a delinquent, quarrel right in front of them. And then they will earn that way a divorced home. And we know that divorced homes produce much more criminality than anything else. Here's the next one. Give a child all the spending money he wants. Never let him earn his own money. You give him everything, he'll expect the government to give him whatever he wants and needs. He becomes a dependent kid, and the government will now have to give him everything in the form of benefits, in the form of welfare payments, and so on. No, kids should learn their own way, or earn their own way, develop their own money systems. They'll honor it, they'll appreciate it, they'll respect it. Here's the next one. Satisfy his every craving for food, drink, and comfort. See that every sensual desire is gratified. In other words, kids expect food when they're hungry, drink when they're thirsty, comfort when they're uncomfortable and cold, and they expect you to provide all that, to get all that, to get up out of a chair and get them a drink, and get them, make meals for him, and make dinner for him, and make snacks for him, and make lunch for him, and all the rest. He expects that. And if you do it, he'll continue to expect other people to provide him the basic necessities of life. He'll be a dependent kid upon his spouse, the poor spouse that marries him. Here's another one. Take his part against neighbors and teachers and policemen. They're all prejudiced against him, right? They're all prejudiced against him. That's what you're going to think. So if you take his side of every dispute, every complaint, he knows that he's got somebody in his corner and he can do anything he wants because he knows you'll protect him. He knows you'll defend him. He knows that you will argue for him. And that you will justify whatever he does. Stop taking his place and stop taking his part and stop taking his side on these arguments with authority. He's got to deal with authority himself, right? Okay, here's another one. When he gets in trouble, real trouble, apologize to yourself and just say this: I never could do anything with him. It's kind of like you throw up your arms. And when he gets into real trouble, you're going to then have to back out and say, this was coming, and I could never do anything about him. He was never manageable. Well, that's not true. He was manageable earlier on, but you didn't do it. You didn't try it. You see? Here's another one. Prepare for a life of grief. Prepare for a life of grief. You'll likely have it. If you raise your kid this way, you'll have a life of grief. So, these are the ways that you develop a delinquent in your family. These are the ways that you develop a child that's going to be delinquent as he comes into the late teens and early 20s of his life. It's the way that you develop a kid who is going to be dependent upon society and the welfare system on into his life. This is somebody who's going to depend upon a spouse to get everything for him. Do everything for him, provide everything for him, and not be the leader of a marriage or the leader of a family, but just be another dependent adult child. So you got to watch it. You be very careful how you raise your kid. That's from the Houston Police Department. This is what they have come up with. And what they have learned from their work with teenagers. These are the kind of teenagers that get into trouble. So if you want your teenager to get in trouble, that's how to raise them. These are the 12 points about how to raise a kid who's going to get into trouble. So you have a choice. So anyway, hope this has been stimulating and helpful to you and maybe a little awesome. But just make sure that you, as a parent, you as a grandparent, you as a friend, give real thought to how your kids around you are being raised. Look for these signs and see if there are any of these signs creeping into the life of the child, into the home of the child, from the parents or grandparents or friends or relatives or whomever it might be. If you see these kind of behaviors taking place, address them, deal with them, stop them. We don't want kids raised with these kinds of attitudes and these kinds of approaches to life, okay? Nice to have you with me today, and this has been the Psychology Report. Susan Hatch. Susan Hatch. Remember that name. If you are on Medicare, or if you're about to go on Medicare, you need Susan Hatch, Clovis, California. Give her a call. She'll talk to you about Medicare and the best program that's available for you in your circumstances and situation. And she will be your advocate to the Medicare system. So it's Medicare, not Medi-Cal, but Medicare. So if you are disabled or if you're older, you need to get a hold of Susan Hatch and start talking to her so that you get the right kind of insurance program that will be best for you and your situation. Okay? Susan Hatch, H-A-T-C-H. And then lastly, let me just bring to your attention the Pompeii Foundation, the United Pompeii Foundation. Pompeii is P-O-M-P-E. Look it up on the internet. United Pompeii, P-O-M-P-E Foundation. This is a foundation to raise money for parents who have children with a Pompeii disease. This is a disease that affects the muscle system of the child and weakens the child, and they often die very young, particularly the muscles around the lung that have to do with the breathing in and breathing out and giving strong muscle support, you know, to the breathing system. And the treatment is extremely expensive, and it requires a lifetime of treatment. So if that's of some interest to you, for whatever reason, look it up, United Pompeii Foundation, P-O-M-P-E Foundation, and if you got some money, send them a few dollars. They raise money to help families that have little resource and little money to provide the treatment necessary for the children and their family that have Pompeii disease. So check it out, okay? Do that. And I'll see you next Saturday morning, this coming Saturday morning, 10 o'clock on CentralValleyTalk.com. 10 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. We have our television program, Dr. Teach Me to Parent. So follow up, will you, next Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, CentralValleyTalk.com. Okay, bye for now.